name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Happy Easter. I am so glad we're in Easter now. I can say alleluia all I want, and I don't have to feel guilty. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Now, we say these words often, don't we? We say them often in our church services when we're praying. But here on Easter, I think it's especially poignant. The whole psalm is a thank you for God's continued care and protection. The psalmist talks about how the Lord took him from a bad place and set him on a much better road. The psalmist here is praising God for a near miss, right? I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The psalmist was in a situation where he thought he would die. Have you ever been in one of those? A near miss? Some time in the hospital you weren't expecting that didn't go the way? I'm looking around this morning. I've been in the hospital with a few of you. But he was saved. And that's what it's like for us some days. And this is the song of jubilation and the fact that everything turned out well and the Lord had saved him. That feeling we have of relief. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. This is one of those psalms the crowd had in mind on Palm Sunday, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it all leads to this one statement. That same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. We'll get back to that. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. Now, in the first part of Isaiah, Isaiah is being called by God to preach to God's people in the kingdoms of Israel and Judah about how God is displeased with them, and how if they don't change what they're doing, they're going to be sent into exile. And Israel is sent into exile, but the kingdom of Judah, where Jerusalem was, listened and would be spared for many years. And in this section, God's giving them the promise that the day will come when on his holy mountain, on Zion, on Jerusalem, there'll be a day of feasting. He talks about the best foods and the best drinks. And the repetition here, why do we get this, the prophet saying the same things over and over again in slightly different ways? The repetition is telling the readers, the listeners, how important what he is saying is. Why is it important? Because of what's going to happen. Isaiah writes, and he'll destroy on that mountain the shroud that is cast over all people, the sheet that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all the faces, and the disgrace of his people will be taken from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Isaiah is saying that a day is coming when the death and the grave, when the sin and brokenness of the world will be overcome on the mountain of God. And that one day we get promises that still resonate with us, right? The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he'll take away from the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Even back in Isaiah's day, God was promising a day would come when he'd wipe the tears from our eyes, that sin would be taken away once and for all. And Isaiah says, it'll be said on that day, lo, this is our God, and we waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. We're back to that repetition again. Isaiah is telling them the reality is we're going to have to wait. And that's important to remember, because waiting on God can be the hardest thing. But we wait because we know our reality is assured. That we'll be able to, on that day, rejoice, to know the Lord's salvation would be over the whole earth. But not only over the whole earth, but in each one of our lives as well. In our gospel this morning, we start off with those words. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint him. Now on Palm Sunday, on Good Friday, on Holy Saturday, when we read the gospels, our gospel readings always end in the same place, don't they? Jesus is dead. They hurriedly put him in the tomb. And Mark likes to mention that Mary Magdalene and some of the other Marys followed Joseph of Arimathea, so they knew where the body was buried. Because they knew there wasn't time to prepare everything the way it ought to be prepared. So as the Marys were watching from the distance, they all went home. They had their Sabbath. And early the next morning, the first chance they have, Mary Magdalene and Mary, this one is Jesus' aunt, and Salome are going to the tomb to finish what had been started, to finish preparing Jesus' body for burial. They were trying to figure out how they would get someone to roll the stone away. I'm sure they were asking, how do we get the men around the tomb to open it so we can finish the preparations? But then we get to the good part, don't we? And they looked up and saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. Now I'm sure as they're looking up, seeing the stone moved away from the tomb must have confused and frightened them. What does it mean? And so they rush inside and find a young man in white standing there. And who's not there? Jesus. They're scared. And the young man tells them, do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He's not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. I want to focus in on two words for a moment this morning. And Peter. Think about the last 96 hours or so. What Peter has gone through. Right? We read on Monday, Thursday, that Peter tells Jesus, as Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, he starts by saying, Jesus, there's no way you're going to wash my feet. Then when Jesus talks to him, he says, what? All right, Jesus, not just my feet, my hands, my head, all of me, Jesus. Then he promises Jesus he's going to stay with him if no one else does. And then most certainly, no matter what is said, he's not going to deny our Lord. In the garden, the sword comes out, the ear comes off, and then Peter runs and hides. He then follows the group from a distance, sneaks himself into the courtyard, and warms himself by the fire. And what does he do as he's sitting by the fire that morning? He denies the Lord three times. At least two of them from a serving girl. The Gospels almost all of them say at that point that when Peter realized and hearing the cock crow the second time what had happened, he went away weeping. But the message promised by Isaiah is not just for those who think themselves worthy. No, it's for all of us, even when we fail. And Peter, the messenger that morning, made sure that Peter knew all was forgiven. And they ran. Paul says, now I remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, and in which you also stand. Now looking 30 years later, back on that Easter morning, Paul says the primary thing is this, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And then Paul gives us a partial list of those who saw the risen Christ. Peter, the other 12, 500 at once, James, and then to the others. We know on that Easter morning he appeared to Mary. On the road to Emmaus, he stopped his uncle Cleopas and another disciple. And Paul says, finally he appeared to me and called me to be an apostle. Paul says, I'm like a baby born late. And that because of that, being the baby brother of the apostles, he talks about how he had to work so hard to make up for lost time. And then he says this, whether then it was I or they, we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. And Paul here is saying that because of the risen Christ, he can proclaim the fact that Jesus Christ is risen today. He can proclaim the same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That when the psalmist wrote those words, we can look and see Jesus. When Isaiah wrote that he'll swallow up death forever, he was looking towards the day when Jesus would come and be the final sacrifice for the sins of the world. that he would come and free us all from the power of this world. And on this glorious Easter morning, remember, no matter where you are right now, no matter where you've been, no matter whether, like Peter, you feel worthy or not, God's grace is always there for us, even when we stumble. His love for us is there, especially when we, like sheep, have gone astray. Today, let the love of the risen Christ be in your hearts and in your actions. Amen.